From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week from Music Hall in Cincinnati, Ohio, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a 10-year-old pianist playing a set of variations on a theme by Paganini, and the 60-voice-strong Cincinnati May Festival Youth Chorus singing Virgil Thompson. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. It is a special pleasure for us to be in the most perfect historical gem, the melding of music and architecture that is Cincinnati's Music Hall. It's fantastic being here. We're here in Cincinnati for the second time, and in honor of the occasion, all of our young musicians are from this area. But it's no wonder that classical music is strong here when you consider all the organizations that gather together to make this visit of ours possible. 90.9 WGUC, the Cincinnati Arts Association, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, the Music Teachers National Association, the Northern Kentucky University Music Preparatory Department, the Starling Project, and the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Just great. Thank you for bringing them. So let's hear our first guest from this very musical town. Please welcome 14-year-old violinist Sophie Perriot. Good to have friends in town, isn't it?
Yes.
Sounds good. Sophie, why don't you tell everybody what you and I are going to play together?
I am going to be playing La Gitana by Kreisler.
So tell us a little bit about the character of this piece and why you think maybe your personality and Kreisler's
coincide. Well, it has such a good gypsy personality, which I love to play, so I'll be able to show some of that, which I love doing.
Very good. So. All right, let's take it from the top. Thank you. La Gitana by Fritz Kreisler, played for us by 14-year-old violinist Sophie Perio. And we've got 14-year-old roving reporter and fellow violinist Chailey Smith joining us to talk shop with Sophie. Sophie, thank you for introducing us to this piece. We've never had it on the show before. I was not familiar with it, and it's obviously a great violin showpiece.
Done beautifully.
You've been spending your Saturdays away from Cincinnati for your violin lessons. Where are you going?
Well, for the past 2 years, I've been going every Friday to Juilliard Pre-College in New York.
That's nice. Nice place, I hear, to learn.
Yes, I love Juilliard.
Obviously you like your teacher very much. Do you like the vibe in the building?
Especially the fourth floor. It's where everyone practices. And especially when you hear them practice, you just have the ambition to do even more work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're actually really focused about the way that you study at Juilliard, right, Sophie?
Yes. Every year, I set goals for myself, and then at the end of the year and middle of the year, we have juries in which we play for judges, and then they give us a grade on how we're improving throughout the year.
So are your goals like, okay, I'm going to learn the Beethoven Concerto this year, or, I mean,
well,
what other
like
kinds of goals do you have?
Like, for example, this year, I'm going to be putting my musicality away and focusing more on my technical to be able to improve that even more.
Uh-huh. And so, Chailey, we wanted to demonstrate exactly what that means.
That's right, Chris. I wanted to help Sophie demonstrate what the goal of improving your technique really means. I think everybody will agree that it means practicing a whole lot, but I don't know if everybody will understand that it means spending hour after hour, day after day, playing exercises that we hate. Like, for example, Sophie, can you give us an example of one of your most hated exercises?
Yes, I can. It actually comes from a piece that I'm starting called Carmen Fantasy. And actually, as simple as it can be, it's actually the very first note in which you really have to pay attention to the sound, in which you have to put the bow on the string, memorize a good spot, and then click and release. You keep doing it over and again. And it actually seems simple, but it's not, because you have to have a good starting point, or else when you go faster, it won't work.
Wow, so, like, this takes so much time to really get that perfect.
It would probably drive you crazy if you did it more than 20 times.
Yes.
I think that's
probably
the rule.
And here's one of my personal, well, I hate it a lot. It's one that's done a lot for me, though. But this exercise really helps a lot with the strengthening of the fourth finger and the third finger in trills. Sounds something like this. Goes on for a couple of pages, same thing over and over, and it can really start to hurt.
Thank goodness I don't know it.
Yeah.
Like the littlest and most defenseless fingers are the ones that are worked exclusively.
Yes.
No help from the big boys. Wow.
Sophie, do you have another example of the torture you have to go through to become
Yes, I do. It's actually thirds, and first you play it through, and of course it's going to be out to tune. So, for example. As you can see, it's out of tune, but to practice it, it takes a long time because, first of all, you need to tune the higher note first, so. And it goes on, just on and on.
And people make it seem so easy, but it's actually so much work behind that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Work. And actually, you know, you're not really sort of divorcing technique from music making, because as you do that exercise about intonation, it's about playing in tune, and that
exactly.
makes it for a more beautiful sound. And that that little up bow thing you were doing, you know, that's, you've got an idea for a sound in a piece in the Carmen Fantasy, and so doing it a little bit over obsessively, but yeah, trying to get the right sound. That's what it's all about. That's great. Well, luckily there's the hard working Sophie and motivated violinist, and there's the other side, which is...
Yeah, I can just say that once I finish practicing, I'm just crazy. I love to laugh, fool around, and just one thing, it just drives my teachers and my family crazy.
I know, like serious laughing fits, what, in class and things?
Yeah, it's with my friends. Like, one I can recall very much is the one in French class we had last year, in which I was with my friends, and we were playing a French game, and we were bored too, so we took out a box of candy, and there were Laffy Taffys in it, and of course, Laffy Taffys contain corny jokes, and we were reading them, and we just started cracking up for 5 minutes for no good reason, actually.
You should explain what a Laffy Taffy is, just in case the audience doesn't know. We have one up on stage, actually.
Well, this is a Laffy Taffy, and on it there's a joke, and we were just reading it. And just for one joke that we have, it is, why should you never iron a four-leaf clover? Because it'll press your luck.
I hope the taffy is better than the joke, but meanwhile, it's been superb having you on the show.
Thank
and
you.
Having your energy, serious and fun-loving, and the Chrysler was just great.
Thank you.
You so much, Sophie. Sophie Perriot, 14 years old from Loveland, Ohio, and our own Chailey Smith. Chailey will be back later in the program with a great field piece.
Want to improve your technique? Check out the discussion forums at FromTheTop.org to get tips from other young musicians. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise but with financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next young performers make up a woodwind trio calling themselves Fresh Winds. They're Thomas Cranack and Tom Turner, both 18 years old, and Morgan Ferris, 17 years old. They're all from nearby Westchester, Ohio. Please welcome them. Thomas is at the mic with me, looking snazzy with his tenor saxophone.
Thank you.
Thomas, unfortunately, though, we have some business to take care of.
Yes, I'm afraid that's true.
Let's try and set the scene, shall we? First of all, tell everybody what your ensemble is going to play.
We will be playing The Lone Arranger Goes Sax Mad, arranged by Philip Butthole.
Is that a real name?
Apparently.
Okay. And The Lone Arranger Goes Sax Mad, I'm assuming, is a very serious work.
Quite.
Okay.
Quite serious.
Obviously, though, it's a silly piece written for saxophones.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And, Thomas, saxophone is not your main instrument?
No, not at all. I play clarinet and piano, and Morgan plays clarinet, and Tom plays bassoon. Those are our main instruments.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, to make a very long story short, there's been quite a bit of controversy over the appearance of this trio on From the Top today. I don't know what you guys are laughing at, but we found ourselves in the middle of a class action lawsuit. This morning, we met in the office of the mediator for the Circuit Court of Ohio in an effort to come to an agreement that would allow the performance to continue while providing for an appropriate protest.
Yeah.
And so, to honor the letter of that agreement, please welcome 17-year-old Ryan Robe, first chair saxophonist with the Lakota West High School Symphonic Winds, the very same high school as our performers. He is also the spokesperson selected to represent the plaintiffs in this case.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. May I say that my colleagues and I appreciate the willingness of the producers of From the Top to listen to our concerns and to allow me to read this statement to your audience.
Go right ahead.
Many young people actively choose to learn to play the saxophone, and those who commit themselves to the instrument work for many long hours to master its uncompromising demands. One can then imagine our shock when we learn that a dilettante trio of clarinet and bassoon players was to perform on our instrument today. Understandably, all legitimate teenage saxophonists in the Cincinnati area feel disrespected and, frankly, snubbed by a radio program that pretends to support and encourage talented youth. In addition, we find the choice of repertoire to be totally unacceptable, a buffoonish typecasting of the instrument that ignores its more sublime qualities. Indeed, the saxophone is capable of producing some of the most profoundly beautiful sounds in all of music, like this. Or this. But, alas, three former friends of ours, will be performing a vapid composition of absolutely no cultural value on this program. We are outraged and have filed a formal protest with the Office of the Ombudsman at National Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ryan. Well, okay, I mean, I think we've set this piece up as well as we possibly
yes.
could. Let's go out there and have some fun, okay?
All right.
All right. Fresh Winds Trio, 17 and 18 years old, Morgan Ferris on alto, Thomas Cranach on tenor, and Tom Turner on baritone sax, all from nearby Westchester, Ohio. We've got our youngest Ohioan on the show up next. Please welcome from just up the road in Mason, 10-year-old pianist Kevin Bao. Good to have you with us, Kevin.
Thanks.
When we were learning about you before the show, you were talking a lot about the piano, but also a lot about your great family. Are they here tonight?
Yeah, my dad, my mom, and my little brother, who's five.
Nice. Very good. And you take being a big brother pretty seriously.
Yeah, because, well, my little brother, he can, he has a lot of extra energy. Mm. And so my mom just, my parents want me to be in charge of him. So I would, if he was really, if he didn't behave, I would just give, on the first time, I would just give him a warning. And on the second time, if he still didn't behave, I would just leave it to my parents.
So, a warning, basically, because he doesn't have the maturity of a 10-year-old at this point. And then after the one warning, you rat him out to your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. So you're strong with your little brother, and yet you describe yourself as someone who doesn't like to take risks.
Yeah, well, I'm very cautious of things, and I like to just find the I would just find the information, and then before making my decision, because last year at Disney World, at the MGM Studios, I was gonna ride the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and so with my family, so I asked my aunt to ride it twice. So she could see what it was like, and then could tell me, what was gonna, and then she could tell me what was gonna happen on the ride, like how many drops and stuff like that. So after she told me, I made up my mind and rode it. It was pretty nice.
It was nice.
But it was pretty complicated to go, like, what happened there now, what happened there,
right.
So...
Oh, so the first time she came off weaving and bobbing, and you asked for the whole rundown, the scenario of every turn and every twist in the turn in the ride, and since she couldn't come up with the whole scenario, you made her go a second time. I don't think it's a matter of not liking to take risks. I think it's a matter of relegating risks to other people. Might end up in the insurance business, perhaps. Might be something. Now, clearly the fears, the caution, hasn't stopped you from being a monster pianist. Tell us about this piece you're going to play.
I'm going to play Variations on a Theme of Paganini by Berkovich.
See, I wasn't aware of this. You know, there's Brahms, there's Rachmaninoff, and listed variations on Paganini, and lots of people, Ludoslavsky. So who found this particular piece?
Well, now I'm going to play it, so I hope you would get to know it, sort of, talking to the audience.
Exactly. But I mean...
But it's a great piece, and my teacher found it. He's a Ukrainian composer, and so is my teacher. So, his name is Sergei Plusmiak, and I'm sure I can't find him right now, but
he's here too.
Say hi.
Good for that. Excellent. Go for it. The stage is yours.
Okay.
Thank you.
We heard Variations on a Theme by Paganini by the composer Isaac Berkovich, played for us by 10-year-old pianist from Mason, Ohio, Kevin Bao.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting from Music Hall in Cincinnati, Ohio. Coming up, the Cincinnati May Festival Youth Chorus performs the music of Virgil Thompson. And up next, a skateboarding, harmonica-playing teenager performs an extremely reverent piece of cello music. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our show in Cincinnati is made possible with support from the Marge and Charles J. Schott Foundation, the Friends of CCM, and the Hare Bohmer Wealth Management Group. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next guest isn't from Greater Cincinnati, but he's from right here in the city. Please welcome 17-year-old cellist Christoph Zossmannshaus. You've brought some really powerful music to play. While I go back to the piano, tell everybody what it's going to be.
I'll be playing Prayer by Bloch.
Thank you.
You heard Ernest Bloch's prayer for cello and piano from his three sketches from Jewish life, played for us by 17-year-old cellist from Cincinnati, Ohio, Christoph Zossmannshaus. Really nicely done, wonderful piece, and very expressively and eloquently spoken, prayed, whatever.
Thanks.
Nice. Your musical interests transcend just your interest in cello.
Yes.
Actually, sort of, you were forced into a different musical direction. What other instruments do you play?
I play this.
That's great, although thanks. I don't know whether I'm fixing on dying or whether I'm just hearing that train a-coming. I'm sort of on the fence at this point. It's a testament to the richness of your performance.
Thanks.
So this interest in the harmonica was a result of an injury, I guess.
Yeah, I had tendonitis in my left arm, and I couldn't play for about a year and a half.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah.
And in the end, I ended up getting hand surgery.
So it wasn't tendonitis after all.
It was actually a cyst. The doctor, Peter Stern, ended up taking the cyst out.
An artist, obviously. So that's rather rare.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yeah. No cello. So I picked up the harmonica.
You just had one around? Or
My mom went and bought me one, and she was like, here, try this out. So I started playing it, and I loved it. It's great. So
I
carry it with me everywhere I go.
Exactly.
When I'm out skateboarding, I'll just, you know, sit down sometimes and whip out a little bit of blues.
Nice. Fantastic. So you've got the whole thing. You've got the pop music accompaniment to yet another interesting pursuit of yours, the skateboarding.
Yeah, I'm a serious skateboarder.
Wow. So that's nice. Can you play the harmonica while skateboarding?
Sometimes.
You don't want to brag, but I'm going to do it for you. You've got very deeply into working with autistic kids, and with one kid in particular. So we sent our roving reporter, Chailey Smith, to find out more.
Got your hopes up, Brad?
Let me make the bridge.
Me and Joe will make the bridge. And what about you make the, you and him make the tree?
And I'm going to make a wheat field.
Who's going to make, okay, so we got the wheat field, we got the bridge,
you
we got the tree.
Gonna be the bear.
Joe's going to be the bear?
Yeah. So, Christoph, tell us how you initially got started into doing this.
I started with this class when I got an email about this volunteer class that they were having for children with special needs. And at the time, I was looking for a class or a volunteer class that I could do for my college resume.
So it was a little bit to pad your resume?
It was a little bit to pad my resume, okay. Yes. And so I went to this class, and I didn't really know what to expect. I was kind of nervous at first, but as soon as I got to the class and as soon as I met Pam, I immediately felt really comfortable, and I understood what was going on.
We should just mention that Pam Schooner, who is the director of the program, is sitting next to us. Pam, are all of the kids in this class autistic, or?
No, they aren't. They could have Down syndrome. They could have gross motor and fine motor delays due to maybe cerebral palsy or perhaps some sort of oxygen deprivation at birth. Just various kinds of delays.
So, Christoph, could you describe us a little bit like what one class might be like, what you would do there?
Well, the first thing we do in the class is all the kids sit down in a circle, and the volunteers are kind of interspersed among the kids, and we all sing like a hello song.
Okay, let's just get started. We have a friend that we all know, and Joe is his name. Stand up and say hello, Joe. Are you not ready?
Okay. You want me to? Okay, we'll go to Emily. Are you ready, Emily?
Yeah.
All right.
And then throughout the class, we do various, you know, exercises, stretching exercises, vocal exercises. We do little dances and things to songs, and we tell stories and read books and stuff. It's basically like kind of a fun preschool, kindergarten kind of class.
And tell us about, there's one kid in particular that you feel like you have a pretty close connection with.
Yeah, Shane.
Shane, you sit next to Kristoff.
Shane, is this Kristoff?
He was in the class when I first got involved, and he's still in the class. And I kind of connected with him because I found him to be really interesting. He's autistic, and he's really smart. He's a very intelligent kid, but he also has big deficits. So it was interesting for me to kind of get to work with him and kind of learn the way his brain works, and learn what he's capable of and what he's not capable of, and how he interacts with the other kids.
Okay, Shane, your turn.
You ready to go, Shane?
Ready? We have a friend that we all know, and Shane is his name. Stand up and sing.
Hello, Shane. Say hello. Hey, Shane.
What would you like to pretend to be?
You want to spin like a top? Spin around, Shane. Great job.
A saxophone?
Okay. Oh, Shane.
One of the things that I found astounding with Kristoff being a part of this is that he's our, I shouldn't say token male, but he is our only male. He is the only male volunteer that we have. And he provides a wonderful role model for the young boys that are in the class, and the girls too, to see somebody that could be their teenage brother working with them, and having such compassion and patience.
Kristoff, have you taken your cello into the class and played it for the kids?
I did play the cello in the class one time. I played it in the context of kind of background music for a story we were doing. And it didn't go so well because the kids were kind of like mesmerized by the cello. They loved it. They thought it was so amazing.
And they didn't listen to the story.
And
they
couldn't pay attention to the story yeah. very well because of the cello, but it felt cool to kind of bring that into this setting and have them hear live music for the first time was really special to me. There are a lot of things that happen in the class that are really special to me, but the most special thing is just when you come into class and one of the kids who was nonverbal and not very social at the beginning of the year comes up to you and grabs your hand and says hi, and they want to sit next to you in the circle. It just feels so special to have that friend.
How would you say you have changed, or what have you learned from working with these kids?
Well, these kids aren't, you don't see these kids that often in the outside world. When you go to a restaurant or when you go to a grocery store, you don't see them. They're not around. They ride special buses and they go to special schools. And you don't usually have interactions with these kinds of kids. So I've learned how to be a parent. I've kind of learned parenting skills, and I've learned how to, you know, talk to people with special needs and how to interact with them, and that they're not really any more different than you or me. They're just like everybody else.
Okay, Kristoff and Pam, thank you so much for talking to me about this.
Okay, so we've got the tree, we've got the bridge, we've got the wheat field, we've got the boat and the river.
Hello.
And
the cave.
And the cave. Okay, and here's, we're going to start out.
So, Kristoff, it's wonderful that you found a perfect venue for, obviously, a compassionate nature that you have. And Shane, obviously, what did he take to you right away? I mean, your first
Yeah, I guess first the, day? The first day I went there, he ended up just sitting next to me in the circle. So I was his helper. I was his friend for that day. And I liked him. I liked the kid. He was a fun kid.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful outlook. And Great playing. I enjoyed playing the block with you.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with us, Christoph.
Thanks a lot.
Christoph Zussmanshaus, 17-year-old cellist from right here in Cincinnati.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Okay, 60 singers from 28 high schools in the Cincinnati area have just filed on stage very, very quietly. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Cincinnati May Festival Youth Chorus. Their conductor, James Bagwell, has joined me at the microphone. James, welcome.
And thank you.
Obviously, it's a very impressive group of kids. How did this chorus start out?
This chorus started in 1996 as an actually, 1986 as an extension of the Adult May Festival Chorus, as sort of an education outreach. The May Festival Chorus has been in Cincinnati since the end of the 19th century, so it's such a thrill to be a part of that tradition, that choral tradition of Cincinnati.
For those of us who don't know about the Cincinnati May Festival, does it involve human sacrifice or anything?
Well, the chorus might think so because. If you've seen it, it's 2 weekends, up to 5 concerts.
Ah.
One night might be Verdi Requiem, one night might be Carmina Burana, you know, the easy pieces.
Right.
And in fact, this hall was built for the May Festival. And
really?
If you look around, I mean, this is the history of American choral music is in this building.
And that's why you guys sound so great in here.
Thank you.
That's great. Would you please introduce this set of 2 songs you're going to perform?
Sure. These are 2 pieces by the American composer Virgil Thompson, and they're not performed very often. They're actually settings of Thomas Campion poems, and Thomas Campion was a Elizabethan lute song composer. And so what Virgil Thompson has done is take these poems and adapt them in a 20th century idiom, and even the piano part sounds a little bit like a lute. So he tries to read these poems through mid-20th century ears.
Very nice. All right, stage is yours.
Follow your saint. Follow with accent sweet. Haste you with sad notes. Score.
We heard two songs by Virgil Thompson, Follow Your Saint and Follow Thy Fair Son, settings of poems by Thomas Campion. I believe he was Christopher Marlowe's pub-crawling partner. Sung for us by the Cincinnati May Festival Youth Chorus, ages 14 to 18 years old, conducted by James Bagwell and accompanied by their assistant director, David Kirkendall. We have three singers from the chorus joining us at the microphones. Kara Cover, 18 years old, Alex Metzel, 16 years old, and Alice Flanders, 17 years old. Beautiful songs and wonderfully done. Kara, I understand before you joined the chorus, you were not necessarily a big fan of classical music?
No, I wasn't. I thought it was actually boring.
What was it that turned you around about it?
Well, I came to the chorus, the first rehearsal, and all these kids just started singing, and I was blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing I have ever been a part of. And it's just amazing to be around like all these kids like my own age who are just so talented. And you know, I thought that maybe going there, you know, all these kids were going to be like really stricklers with their music, but no, they're just fun-loving kids like just me.
It's the community, the welling up of sound.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that you were a non-fan of classical music, it's just that you had bad speakers, probably.
Yeah.
A good audiophile will take care of that for you. Alex, meanwhile, you want to take this singing thing very seriously. You love all kinds of singing.
Yeah, I especially love opera. And to me, it's the perfect form of art form. I mean, you combine theater and singing, and there's so much technicality to it, and musicianship, and you add foreign languages, and you have sets and props and orchestra. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. And I've heard different recordings of operas, you know, Mozart and Verdi and Puccini, Rene Fleming and Placido Domingo. And you just realize how much work I have to do, but that doesn't turn me off. I want to try harder so that one day I can sing at the Met or La Scala like them.
Alice, tell us a little bit about your conductor who's standing right next to you.
James is absolutely marvelous. We could not have possibly asked for a better conductor. He's wonderful, especially with our age group. He actually teaches college students, and he relates to us more on a level that we appreciate as young adults.
Kara, you say that your conductor is great about illustrating how he wants you to sing, what, with stories or demonstrations?
Yeah, he tries to find a way for us to connect and, you know, demonstrate ways for us, the way he wants us to do it. And a funny story, a couple weeks ago, he was telling us a way not to sing, and he demonstrated Bo Bice from American Idol, and we all thought that was... pretty interesting.
Good way of getting point across. And James, I guess we're really going to have to hear this Bo Bice imitation.
I'm reluctant to do this, but it's...
It's just this voice. I can...
That's it.
I can almost smell the hair product and propane. And now, to take us from the ridiculous to the sublime, James, please tell us what the chorus will sing to take us out of this program.
This is an arrangement by Robert Shaw, who conducted many times in this hall of Saints Bound for Heaven.
All right. Lovely way to end our program today. I want to thank all of our great young performers, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Cincinnati May Festival Youth Chorus. You can take it from the top.
Our bondage it shall end by and by and by. Our bondage it shall end by and by. From Egypt's Joseph free, hail the glorious jubilee. And to Canaan we'll return by and by and by. And to Canaan we'll return by and by. Our deliverer he shall call by and by.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Rezeman, and our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Today we had help from Robin Gale. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.